Part 1. The Trail. 1. August 11th, 2025. I waved off the swarm of insects hovering in front of my face and stopped in my tracks. Angry welts burned on my arms, and at that moment I hated myself for ever coming. "This has to be it," I muttered, holding the GPS unit 2 feet from my eyes. The glow was bright under the dark canopy of heavy ceiba tree leaves, which drooped ponderously with rainwater.
"You've been saying that for hours," Marcus responded. His forehead was covered in bites, and he tugged at his bandana, trying to conceal them.
"The main ruins are half a mile to our west, so the causeways ended around here. We know they built them for a reason," I told him.
"Rex, they wanted to relocate supplies around the swamps. It's the only reason for the roads."
It was clear Marcus was losing his motivation for adventure, but I didn't blame him. The trek to El Mirador had taken 3 days on foot, thanks to the summer storms, and this wasn't his idea of a holiday. I hunted for the stone path, noting it 50 yards to my left. There it is. My heart sped up at the sight of the crumbling square rocks. Just as I'd expected, the trail halted abruptly. My boots sank a good foot into the mud as I stepped closer, and Marcus stayed put on solid ground.
"You've got to be out of your mind. Tell me why I agreed to this again," Marcus asked.
"Because you were my favorite student, and I've inspired you to leave your comfort zone," I suggested. My boots squelched with suction, but they landed on something stable again a moment later.
"You do know I'm not a student anymore, right? This is the third trip around the world, and it's always the same thing. We go home empty-handed, occasionally with some exotic disease," he mumbled, but I hardly heard him. "I can only imagine how many locals have come out here and robbed this temple clean of any artifacts since they discovered this place."
I glanced at the sky, seeing the glimmer of stars behind the thinning clouds. We'd already devoted 2 days to searching through the main complex, each of the three pyramids and every abandoned structure, but my gut had led us to this spot. My father had always said to question the obvious route first, because it often led you in the right direction. I took a step to the side, finding that the slab beneath my feet remained. This was the entrance. It was raining, but it had eased up, and a snapping twig caught my attention in the dense rainforest a short distance away.
"Did you hear that?"
Marcus tilted his head, setting a pack on the ground.
"Hear what?"
I waited another minute, but finally ceased my worry. No one in their right mind would have followed us this far.
"This was a huge waste of time, Rex. I can't believe you convinced me to join you. Come to Guatemala, you said. It'll be a hoot, you said. And there I was, hoping for a trip to the beach, chilling at a pool with a cerveza, but no."
Marcus stopped complaining. That silenced his ramblings. "Take the pack." I pointed at his heavy bag, and Marcus rolled his shoulders.
"Why?"
"Because you never leave your gear behind. Anything can—" I walked toward him and nearly tripped on something jabbing out from the slab hidden below the mud. The earth shook, vibrating deeply as the secreted entrance slid open, sending me into the swamp. Water rushed around me, and I was swept into the current, grasping at the air for purchase on anything stable. I felt the hand clasp before seeing Marcus, his firm grip the only thing keeping me from plunging into the hole. The water was gone in a flash, and I scrambled to my knees, peering through the 3-foot-wide opening into the ground.
"You were right,"
he whispered, slapping at a huge mosquito. I was sore, sweaty, and soaked from the bog water, but I didn't care. We'd found our hidden entrance below El Mirador. "Grab the ropes." A half hour later, we had our rappelling gear locked and loaded, and Marcus started to move for the entry. I clutched his arm. "I go first. You know the rules." He was 23 and no longer my student, but I had a protective obligation to him. And truthfully, I owed him huge for all the effort and time he'd spent at my side during these ridiculous endeavors.
"Fine."
Marcus turned his headlamp on and stared down. "It's a 20-yard drop. I hope these aren't more tombs. I can't tell you how mad I'll be if some ancient mummy puts a curse on us again." Again? I asked with a laugh.
You didn't see the string of dates I went on after that last trip.
Ignoring his jokes, I shuffled to the edge and tugged on the rope, ensuring it was secured to the giant ceiba trunk before starting my descent. I'd tracked this particular symbol for years, and it was inconclusive whether this was the right place or not. The sole artifact I'd seen at the Smithsonian, a golden moon on an eating utensil, was all I'd based this on, but it had looked so familiar. It was the same image, drawn in the margins of my father's old journal. I went slowly, one hand lowering to let go of the rope in my grip before the other grasped it, and in a few minutes my wet boots hit the floor inside the underground ruins. The cave had remained intact over the centuries, huge chunks of stone piled atop one another, bracing the open excavation.
"Right behind you,"
Marcus started to drop, as I detached my lanyard and drifted farther into the space. I turned on my lantern, the bright white light giving me a much better visual. I glanced to the stone floor, seeing the water that had dropped from above rolling across the slanted stones. Marcus arrived, a huge smile on his face.
"Rex, you're going to become a famous man." "It's not about that, and you know it," I told him quietly.
The truth was, even if I discovered what I was seeking, no one would ever know I'd located it. I'd make sure of it.
"Sure, but imagine if you really come across something."
"Be cautious. Anything could be down here," I warned him, and he froze in place.
"What do you mean? Something worse than snakes or bats?"
"That would be the least of my concerns," I said, but I didn't elaborate. It wasn't common, but traps were still obstacles we had to contend with in well-concealed regions like this, although collapse was a more likely danger. It was musty down here. Years of mildew from rainstorms settled over the floor. The cave was empty, but I did notice two huge jaguar claws carved from stone above an exit, and moved for them, each step slow and deliberate. I listened for sounds of shifting rock, but heard nothing out of the ordinary. Marcus had his camera out, recording everything, the red light steady as he walked around the cave. I ran a finger over one of the claws and stepped through the arched opening into the corridor beyond. The symbols had baffled me my entire life. Six icons, repeatedly sketched in my dad's journal. He'd devoted his life to them and one day had vanished. I'd been a little boy and could scarcely recall him now, but finding that book of his, stored with the few belongings Mom had managed to keep, had sparked something in me. It hadn't been a coincidence that I'd studied archaeology, or that I was a professor now, just like he'd been at the start of his career. I figured that if I followed in his footsteps long enough, I'd learn what had happened to him. My light seemed muted inside the hall, the lantern's beam cutting short in the cool caverns, but I didn't stop until I found the next room. It was on my left, the entrance up to my neck. Another emblem was carved in the stone mantle atop the doorway, and I smiled as I recognized the symbol for the moon. This was it. "Marcus," I called, and he almost bumped into me as he walked backwards through the corridor, getting a shot of the path behind him. Light reflected off his dark skin as he spun toward me.
"What is it?"
he asked, aiming the camera at my face. I pushed his arm away and pointed at the carving.
"Cool. The moon."
The room was dusty, the walls carved with intricate designs. A bench sat near a table and I walked to it, lowering my palms onto the surface. Anticipation burned in my lungs and my heart beat loudly in my ears. I blew on the table, sending motes of ancient dust adrift, revealing a single shape on the tabletop. A hexagon. I reached for it, but the shape was empty, devoid of the item I was searching for.
"It's not here."
Marcus was closer, his camera jutting over my shoulder for the shot.
"That's a bummer."
I turned, resting as I leaned against the table. Suddenly, I felt every bug bite, every mile we'd stalked through the treacherous journey here, and I ached for the lost funds to make this trip. It had been for nothing. My sister was right. It was time to give up on these foolish dreams.
What now?
Marcus asked, letting out air from his cheeks. We go home. Marcus's shoulders slumped and he'd started for the exit when I heard the footsteps. I shoved my apprentice to the side, slapping my palm over his mouth.
Quiet,
I hissed through my teeth. I pulled the old Beretta from its holster, acquired a few days ago from a seedy fellow 100 miles from here. I flipped the safety off and kept one hand on Marcus, indicating he should stay put. The corridor we'd entered had a single exit, and I moved forward, Marcus trudging behind me while he continued filming. We'd left a lantern in the main room, and a shadow blocked the hall's entrance momentarily before stretching away from us. Each breath felt far too loud as I listened to the muffled footsteps, and I had to turn to Marcus, pressing a finger to my lips. His eyes were wide with panic, and though I'd never shot someone, I was confident enough with a gun. My hands still trembled as I clutched the metal grip. We returned to the circular open room, our ropes hanging from their secure mounts above ground level, and I motioned for Marcus to start the climb. He didn't hesitate. His compact camera slipped into his pocket as he darted for the exit. Whoever had followed us had gone into the adjacent archway, down another corridor. I wasn't going to wait for their imminent return. Marcus was up the 20-foot rise faster than I thought possible, and I clutched the ascender as the ground under my feet shook violently. Dirt and debris rattled loose from the ceiling, and long cracks formed in the stone walls and floor. The entire place was about to collapse. Fear drove me up. My gun returned to its holster, and just before I arrived at the top of the hole, I saw the figure dash into the room. My abandoned lantern cast its glow over the black-clad man. He stared at me, but I couldn't make out a face in the shadows.
"Rex, time to hustle,"
Marcus called, and I felt him clutch at my armpits, helping to hoist me above ground. The earth shuddered, and I knew what was about to happen. Part of me felt terrible for doing it, but that man hadn't come to befriend us.
"Cut the ropes."
Marcus did so without hesitation, and I pulled at him while rain poured over us from the storm. The stone slab cracked, and water rushed by our feet as we splashed from the causeway. I breathed heavily, my lungs aching from the effort by the time I let us take a pause, and we gaped at the location we'd emerged from, seeing the entire region buckle and drop.
"What the hell just happened?"
Marcus shouted. My gaze spun around, and I caught sight of the searchlight. I heard voices heading for the opening. Whoever we'd left down there hadn't been alone.
"We need to hide,"
I told Marcus. There were 10 of them, and I yanked my binoculars from my pack, keeping most of my body behind a thick saber trunk. I saw 6 men, all wearing black, and 4 locals holding assault rifles. Marcus must have seen the arsenal as well, because he was already running deeper into the trees. It was going to be a long trek home, and we were leaving empty-handed. But at least we were alive.